This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's Mike Shope.
Hey, put a little bit. I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey, put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Okay, hi there. I'm Mike Shope. Thanks for listening. Bulldog is off this week. He's in Puerto Rico. I don't know the temperature there. I'm assuming it's great. I think I'm hotter than he is right now. Temperature hot. The rest is up to you. Just never wear long sleeves to work. Never. Doesn't matter how cold it is. I will never learn. Just one warm day and it's shorts kind of every day after that. Went to lacrosse after the show yesterday where it was, you were here, 35 degrees and really windy and I'm just out there in a jacket. I will never learn. And I've also never learned that it is always hot in here. The coffee maybe doesn't help, but those of you watching the show, which is a thing now, Twitch, YouTube, the turtleneck, not helping me. If not for two things, the stream, and then also the fact that this is a workplace, the shirt would be off. If I were in my attic, Bulldog has an attic, no, I'm just putting on a different shirt, but this is I'll never learn. 53, been here 23 years. Never gonna understand it. Never gonna learn. Sneaky Joe working a double today. Good enough to join me here as we get toward reverse AFC power rankings. Joe, do you share the same frustration over the temperature in the studio?
I go like today. I wore a flannel just so that I have something to wear outside, but then I could take it off pretty easily and just reveal the t-shirt underneath. But turtleneck is a crazy. I would never go turtleneck.
No, terrible. It's a thin, golfy turtleneck. But see, Tuesday mornings, I host a podcast from my basement where it's cold. And once I get done with that, I just never think about it. And here I am. Probably the analytics would show Tuesdays are the day where I get beat the most.
Yeah, well, we have the benefit of if it's really warm in there in the morning, which it is every day, that there's really nobody there yet. So we, sometimes first couple segments, we'll literally just keep the door open just to get some air in there.
Oh, that's an idea. That helps?
Yeah.
That actually,
I don't know, actually, it feels like it should help. I don't actually,
it does.
Yeah, I don't have any, bring like a thermometer in there to actually track it, because in theory it should work, but I don't actually know if it does.
Those days where the workplace is a wind tunnel, which we have too, for whatever reason, I used to know, then you want that door open, then it could get really exciting. But anyway,
yeah, right.
There's 3 minutes on how hot it is in here right now. Lucky me. I mean, it's cold outside and I should be fortunate. Joe, it was only not even an hour ago where I reached out to you, when I reached out to you about joining me for ANZAC for reverse AFC power rankings. Have you done any research in the time being?
I was honored, of course, to be invited back. And I have, let's see, the tabs I have open right now.
Oh,
I've got open.
Let's hear about it.
A NFL free agency tracker for each team, in case I missed anything.
What site is that?
That's just NFL.com's got one where you could just, each team's got all their signings. I've got the AFC conference odds at FanDuel. And then I've got Kevin Cole's improvement index, which I like to look at every year, which is like expected points added and lost throughout the year.
That counts as research as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you sound prepared for this thing.
Yeah, I'm just staring at it. I haven't like studied it. Like,
no,
I couldn't tell you where the Bills. Oh, I could. It's right here. I mean, he's got it graphiced pretty well. Like, they're right in the middle. But I'm also learning while pulling up the odds here, like right before we started, that the division odds are now up.
Okay, the Bills might be the biggest favorite in the league.
They to win their division. They are the biggest favorite to win. There are only looks like not only four teams are minus money, and the Bills are minus -210 from what I'm looking at right now. That's the best odds, or the lowest odds.
Speaking of the Kevin Cole stuff, are the Bills supposed to regress?
His doesn't really point to that. I mean, they are in the positive for Kevin Cole stuff versus like he's got the Bills, it looks like at like plus 5 or 6, and Kansas City's minus 30. So
based on what?
Big difference there. Signings, trades, releases, draft capital, too. I wonder if draft capital has something to do with it.
Not with the Chiefs, it wouldn't. I mean, the Chiefs not only have their picks, they also have the second pick of the third round. Well, the Bills have a second round pick, actually. Joe Tooney, maybe?
Yeah, right. Maybe Tooney is the reason for that. That's a good question, though. I mean, they re-signed Trey Smith, and they brought in, Marquise Brown. So I guess they really haven't added, when you think of it. I expect the Bills to regress too. It's why I don't need it to be at 30. I'd like to see them go one more receiver at some point in the draft, because I expect there to be massive regression. Massive may be strong. I expect there to be regression with the turnovers and with field position. You're number one in the league at not turning the ball over at a historic mark, and you're number one in the league in a field position start. And I think both of those numbers probably regress next year, and they'll have to make that up somewhere.
The other side of that coin is that they really, relatively speaking, they really didn't throw the ball. You know, like imagine a Bills team, like mostly last year's team, but with the ability to get the ball downfield. Like those were Allen's lowest numbers ever for average depth of target and just all the good stuff. And I know he won the MVP anyway, so I do sort of instinctively think regression, the turnovers, the field position point is connected to that for the same reasons, but there also is a season where, whether it's Joshua Palmer or just the guys they have, and maybe sometimes that's out of necessity, where you just get behind in games or play better teams, then you have more volume in the passing game, which would be nice. You know, it's guys like us, we want to see that.
Yeah, no, that probably happens. So we'll see. I mean, they might draft a guy on the second round or fourth round anyway, and, you know, that'll satisfy my appeal for one more.
Do you have a favorite?
I'm liking Matthew Golden, but I think you probably have to do that in round one.
Man, so Joe.
I don't have a round two guy yet.
So ADP Chasing, my Tuesday morning podcast, Davis Maddock, Pat Corain, Jacob Sanderson. I brought up today the possibility, excluding Travis Hunter, of one receiver going in the first round. I talked about this some yesterday. And these three guys, they jumped on me. Like, there's no way Golden does not go, like, top 12. Jacob thinks he goes before McMillan.
Top 12.
Yes.
Wow.
And I don't know. I see him out of the first round sometimes. I mean,
I was going to say, this morning I was looking at a mock where he wasn't in the first round.
Yeah. Not big, you know, wasn't super productive, Houston and then Texas. Yep. I don't know, is he undeniable as a first-round pick? I was taken aback by these guys and their very rude reaction to my take.
Yeah.
All right.
Enough teams will want a receiver where it's like, I think I would be surprised if he, maybe he makes it into round two, but same for the Bills' sake, though, they would have to do it in round one. I don't think he's someone that's falling to the end of the second round.
No, I probably would agree with that. All right, Sneaky Joe along. Bulldog is out. I've got Zach here. Here we go. It's time for Reverse AFC Power Rankings, powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit EmpireElectricians.com. It has been 2 weeks, which is a bona fide drought for this segment.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, lead us off. 16.
There is more connecting Tennessee to Cam Ward today, so I'm going to expect that Ward is their quarterback. I'll go with the Browns here.
I agree.
With no quarterback, really, that I can get behind.
But I agree.
I like Ward, so I go Cleveland here.
I liked the idea that Tennessee would do something else because of Levis, and then the Browns could have Ward, but I don't see that happening now. I mean, Tennessee, they're not holding back. Private workouts and like everybody, the media people are at the pro day. It sounds like maybe that's where we are. I don't know what the odds look like, but if they do that, then the Browns have to decide. I mean, two amazing non-quarterback options, or Shedeur Sanders. And I think I would pass on Sanders and try to get a quarterback with the first pick of round two. They have the first pick in round two.
Yeah, me too. I would not sit there and take Sanders at two if I were them. I feel like, who's the favorite right now for their week one starter? Is it
Pickett?
Well, would it be Pickett just because he's there?
Yep. I bet. Yeah. I would think so.
That's tough.
Let's play him week one in Cleveland. What do you think?
Bills, Browns.
Kenny Pickett.
One?
Yep. You like it?
Yep. That's the home game?
Away.
Hmm. Nah, I want home at one. Home at one. Home and one or a primetime game. That's my preference.
All right, well, we can settle this another time. When the schedule comes out, how about then? We settle it then. 15. Titans.
Yeah. Right. How good could it go? I mean, I like Ward, but he's not, like, off the charts good, in my opinion. So I'll go Titans. They're still pretty thin in almost every position.
He could be good. If he's good, then they go right to the middle, you know, pretty much right away. If he's looks like he's not lost out there, but still, it's still an if.
Yeah. I don't love the coach either. Like I don't really have a strong opinion either way about him. Yeah, I'd go Titans here.
I am negatively inclined toward him, and you know why? It's not even a good reason. But his dad is a coach. His dad is on the staff.
Ah,
that's why you're there. Okay, I mean that's not really fair, but. That's kind of how I see the world. 14.
Jets.
I'm excited that Fields is going to get a look.
Yeah.
I doubt it'll be really successful, but I'm glad to have it.
I would agree with that.
Jets, Giants with Fields and Winston, if that's what we get as a fan, I couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
As a fan of other teams.
Not great for Garrett Wilson fantasy owners, I would say, either, him going there.
No, that's right, but he's been really good anyway, with not good quarterback play at least.
True.
13.
We've gone chalk so far here. We haven't had really any...
You like to be a contrarian.
Yeah.
I don't know where you learned that. I don't know where you learned that.
I have no idea. I'll go Pittsburgh here.
Yes.
Come on. They're nowhere.
I tried to spit it out. You just got it in before I could do it. Pittsburgh. Good.
Okay.
Bulldog
there
is not
is
here.
Year...
Get him out of here.
Yeah.
Get Bulldog out of here, I just said.
Oh, okay.
Didn't mean that. Really?
This was with New England for years. Like, oh, they have Belichick. They're just automatically going to get 8-9 wins. And then, oh, the floor fell out, and they had a horrible year. And that year is going to happen for Pittsburgh at some point. And I don't know if Rodgers – I don't even know how to predict if Rodgers is actually going to go there. He is or he isn't? Like, I don't even know if it matters for me.
Pittsburgh. He probably is. You see this maybe as their Cam Newton Patriots year.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of.
12.
Jacksonville.
There is that mascot. There is that color scheme. Not helping.
Jacksonville. What have they done?
What have they done? They have signed maybe my favorite, can't be number one, one of my favorite receiver moves of the offseason. They signed Dyami Brown for $10 million at 1 year. Love it.
Interesting. That's your favorite.
It's not above Davante Adams. Like it's more interesting to me than Palmer. Like it's close to the top. It can't be number one. I love the Adams move, but yeah, I mean they lost Kirk. They traded Kirk. I liked him too. I'm a little bit bullish on Jacksonville for what they've been.
Don't the receivers all kind of do the same thing? Like not in the same way, but don't they all just run go routes?
Yeah, but let's hope. We love that.
All right. I mean, I wonder Thomas could be. I wonder what he could be. You know,
amazing.
Massive this year.
Yep. I think I would go New England first. I think Jacksonville is closer to being maybe good. How about that for praise? Closer to being maybe good. Wow.
Oh, so I've got between Jacksonville and New England here.
Yep. Break the tie.
I kind of like New England. I'll go Jacksonville.
All right. 11, I'm on the Patriots. That's the law. I just said it, so I can't move. I'm not allowed to move.
I'll go Colts.
I was going to say the Colts.
Interesting.
Are the Colts going to start Daniel Jones? Like, I think that's – I kind of can't believe he's going to get another opportunity to start for how many games he has started in the NFL.
Yeah. I certainly understand that. 10. Raiders. Oh, wait, I'm still on New England. Wait a minute.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you New England here. I'll give you New England here.
9.
They need a receiver though. I think if they get Hunter, that's the spot where he plays the most wide receiver.
Oh,
they,
I mean,
they cannot get a wide receiver to say yes to them for 5 years now.
Patriots dislike notwithstanding. Couldn't really get to hate right there for some reason. May Hunter Diggs is interesting.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah.
Diggs is not official, but he's visited. Running back, do whatever you want. Hunter Henry, like the quarterback a little bit. A real coach.
Yep. Yeah, I could get behind that.
9. Vegas. Look at Vegas.
Yes.
1 month ago, they were 16. What did they do? Oh, Geno Smith. Okay, well, that explains
Geno,
it. 9.
They have a real...
That explains it.
They have a professional quarterback now, I would say.
What do you like for them at pick 6?
I mean, my first thought is that's going to be Genty there, but...
Good. I think I'd rather see them go McMillan or Hunter, if it's possible, but that probably isn't going to happen. And then... A good running back in round 2, like one of the Buckeyes.
Yeah, Carroll loves to invest in running backs.
I know.
So if they don't do it in round 1, they'll do it in round 2.
And they have Geno Smith, Brady at the top. Totally see it. That's a Raider move, even without Pete Carroll. The running back at 6? That always works. That always works. 8. This has been the Dolphins for many weeks in a row. There's, I think, a tier between the bad teams. Are those kind of all bad teams? 8 of them, half the conference. The Raiders are the best of the bottom half of the AFC. Okay, that's saying something. I've been stuck on that point, Joe. That it seems a little bit uncomfortably predictable next year in the NFL or in the AFC at least, because I think I've got half the conference. It's almost drawing dead.
Well. Wouldn't odds tell you that one of the teams we've just listed off is going to be a playoff team?
Absolutely.
somebody's going to surprise.
Well, if Houston doesn't win the AFC South, at least one of them is, because we've already named the other three. Like, Houston has right. to be good to keep this, you know, the same.
Well, I think they're who I'd put next year.
Houston?
I mean, it was ugly a lot of last year, and they could not protect Stroud, and they reacted to that by trading away their best offensive lineman.
Yeah, trading for Christian Kirk, that's not going to change your mind. Okay, well, Miami or Houston?
I'm Houston here.
Houston at 8. The AFC okay. South, never change. The AFC South.
Nope.
Never change. 7, Dolphins.
I'll go Miami here. I feel like their last stand here a little bit.
Their what?
Their last stand. They don't win this year, and I don't know.
Yeah.
The coach, Hill. Hill especially. I feel like Hill, they got to be nearing the end. The way they didn't. There was contract stuff with him last year, how it's still kind of easy to get out of that whenever they want, and the drama at the end of the year. Like this, I feel like this is probably it for him there.
Curious team. 6. Denver.
Kind of feels like it has to be Denver or L.A. here.
Kind of want to go Bengals. Like, credit to the Bengals. It looks like they're going to bring back the trio. We're going to get both receivers, Trey Hendrickson maybe.
Mm-hmm.
They still missed the playoffs 2 years in a row with those guys. So I don't really know where they're going. It's cool that Cincinnati seems to be paying people, although the T. Higgins contract seems to be kind of a lot of flash but not a whole lot of substance. They're just they seem to be spinning their wheels to me.
The more I look at their season last year, it's kind of unbelievable they didn't make it.
It is.
All the close games they had. I mean, the one thing you could criticize them for that isn't, I don't know, maybe it is luck, but they just always start bad. Every week, there's a thing about their record in week one going back the whole time Zach Taylor's been there. They just always lay an egg at the beginning of the season.
You had the game in Cleveland where Burrow was coming off an injury from camp and they got blasted.
Yeah,
couldn't move the ball. I like them way more than this. I just I wouldn't be after the moves. I love the moves for them, even if it is more temporary than it seemed at first.
I'm not ready for them yet. I'll go Denver here.
Aren't the Bengals the one team in the AFC, if it's not two including Kansas City, the Bills would not want to have to play?
That, yes,
they've beaten Baltimore every time when it's mattered.
Yep.
5. I would be Chargers here. I'd rather be the Bengals.
I'll go Chargers here, too.
All right. 4.
Kansas City.
Oh, come on.
They haven't done anything. I'm looking at the list right now. The Kevin Cole's got them as the lowest team in the league in improvement index. Don't have a lot of draft capital. They weren't that good all last year, except when they played the Bills in the playoffs, which, of course, will happen again.
They had one good game.
If this were who the Bills are playing, I'd put them number one. But in general, I mean, give me some regression on a lot of stuff from last year and watch them be fourth. Not eighth, but fourth.
Can't do it. How many AFC titles is it? How many AFC championship games in a row? I can't do it. Cincinnati. 3. Bills.
Your Chiefs. I have to be Chiefs again, yeah.
I'm good with Buffalo here.
Bills at 3. 2. Chiefs.
Chiefs.
Ravens 1.
The Ravens at 1.
They'll win the offseason for the 8th year in a row.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right? Yeah. And maybe the regular season for the 8th year in a row, almost. Then what? We'll see what happens after that. But I saw PFF's power rankings today. They were 1 in the league. Bills are four. Baltimore, mm-hmm. Philadelphia, Detroit, Buffalo, I think was the top four.
My only question with them is, did the wheels fall off Henry and just because of age and workload? But like, there was literally nothing last year that would have told you that's coming. So
that's right. That's right. You drafting much?
Not really. Not since our February league was the last time.
That's disappointing to me. I mean, you've got a young thing going, but you do have a lot of time. I mean, you do have a lot of time once you get out of this job, out of this shift.
That's true. Yeah, I should be a draft a day wouldn't be.
It wouldn't kill you. No, it wouldn't kill you. Ask. It would. Yeah. You know, you'd go broke.
I'll do one today. I'll get one in today at some point. But I'm doing something.
Underdog shut us down in New York, so you can't draft on Underdog right now.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't even know that happened. Okay.
That's
tough.
There was a dispute from going back like at least a year where they had a temporary license and they owe money or maybe didn't pay taxes. I don't know. It looks bad. It sounds bad.
Oh, man.
So you want to draft on Underdog, which is like where it's an easy click, $10 or less even, just for something to do. You got to cross the state line to be able to do it.
Well, I am going to North Carolina next week, so maybe I'll see if they're live down there.
Right. I would think one of these states along the way, starting with Pennsylvania, you'd be able to do it.
Yep.
Joe, thanks for jumping on here.
Absolutely.
Where can we find more of your work, Joe? This is what we ask at the end of every guest spot. Now, where can we get more of you?
I think I'm at a point now where you could just Google my name and all the stuff might come up. YouTube and Twitter and I think that's how that works.
Locked On Sabres.
Locked On Sabres. Yep, you could check that out if you want. A lot of fun stuff with them right now.
Sure, I can only imagine. All right, thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
What I am right now is not locked on the Sabres. That's one thing I'm not. I have to admit. All right, power rankings, draft talk. Boy, One Bills Live. I don't hear the show, but I look at the screen and it's just loaded with calls from fans who want them to trade up. Have we learned nothing? 803-0550 is the number. I mean, go ahead. Tell me why you think the Bills should trade up. They gave up a fourth to trade up two spots for Elam. They gave up a fourth to trade up two spots for Kincaid. These are the guys that like they had to have on. They had to move up because they weren't going to get them two spots later. Cody Ford. Okay, Josh Allen. Good point. 803-0550. 4 o'clock, Mike Wilner. The occasion of the start of the baseball season. Michael joined me. Covers the Blue Jays. Has for a long time. And so we'll do a little bit of baseball today. Cody Carpentier. At 5, talk at NFL Draft, one of our favorite draft analysts, really focused on the prospects. He always comes up with a couple of takes that really his, you know, just not from the, the consensus. 6 o'clock, Sabres pregame versus the Senators. Paul Hamilton joins me then. This is Mike Schoep. I look forward to hearing from you next here on WGR.
I feel like this would be a great fit for Buffalo. I don't know why, because I usually don't gravitate towards this type of player, which is athletically freaky, gifted, and doesn't do it all the time, right? But for some reason, I think that Kenneth Grant can be a better NFL player than he was a college player. I'm willing to buy into that potential, basically as high as you want to put him, honestly. If I needed a defensive tackle, I'm willing to take Kenneth Grant pretty much as high as I need him.
That is a voice you may know, Sam Monson, been on our show many times. Talking about Michigan defensive tackle Kenneth Grant for the Bills. I don't think I've seen any other player mocked more often to the Bills than Kenneth Grant. One thing I was reading earlier today from Pro Football Network. Not sure if you know Pro Football Network, but they send us lots of content, like daily free agent analysis, mock drafts, all kinds of stuff. So let me just read this to you. Updated data from users over the last 2 weeks. Each team page has first-round trends from users on the mock draft simulator, as well as the top five players chosen by each team with their first-round pick. So click on the Bills at pick 30. So March 18th to 24th, over the last week, 55% of users selected a defensive tackle with their first-round pick. Kenneth Grant coming in number one. 24.2%. Then a player named Tyleek Williams, who I don't know of, and then Walter Nolan. Walter Nolan, who we have heard about a lot. Four defensive tackles top this list. Users drafting on the Bills' behalf at Pro Football Network over the last week. Okay. So they have every team, and that's pick 30. Pick 31, Kansas City Chiefs. Brace yourselves. 45% of users selected a defensive tackle with their first-round pick. Walter Nolan, then an offensive tackle, Tyreek Williams, Kenneth Grant. Doesn't have to be a problem, but by this consensus, crowdsourcing it, the Chiefs are seen to have the same need as the Bills. And, you know, in how it fits with the draft class. Maybe the Bills need a corner more than they need a defensive tackle, but, you know, how deep are each is each pool, that kind of thing. So Kansas City, you know, right behind the Bills in the draft. And then Philadelphia as the Super Bowl champion at 32 over the last week. 34.7% of users selected a defensive tackle. Walter Nolan with their first-round pick. I'll stop saying Walter Nolan like that for now. But the Chiefs and the Eagles are right with the Bills. Why does that matter? The Bills draft in front of those teams. Trade possibilities. I mean, we've been down the road with the Bills and the Chiefs trading in the draft. Do you think the Bills would not do that this year after last year? I bet you think they should not do that this year. I think you maybe thought they shouldn't have done it last year. But they did. They were willing to take that chance. The Chiefs get to Xavier Worthy. The Bills, I don't know, it's not really right, settle for Keon Coleman at pick 8. I love trading down. I mean, I really do love it. I feel like it's an edge that stands out anymore in the league, in sports, because there are still plenty of teams that won't do it. Like, there's still plenty of trading up. I mentioned earlier how the show prior to this show seemed to spend the day on, like, trading up. Why would you do it? I'm not sure exactly how they framed it, but I know lots of people called in to talk about why they would like the Bills to trade up. I just don't get it. I don't know how many years have to go by, you know, especially when you want to make an exception for quarterback. Fine. That obviously worked out for the Bills, you know. Could you say that? Is that safe to say? Moving up as they did dramatically for Allen. But how many years of moving up for Kyrie Elam and Dalton Kincaid do we really need? Does it always not work? Of course not. I mean, sometimes it's going to hit. Your odds of drafting a good player are a little better, not a lot better necessarily, but a little better when you move up in the order, obviously. Why wouldn't that be true? The reason why you do the opposite is to give yourself, in an imperfect science here, this draft, every year, an extra chance to get a good player, even if it is in the mid-rounds, which it would be. These trades, Elam and Kincaid, that I'm citing, cost the Bills each a fourth-round pick. Sal had that cool chart. It might be pinned on his Twitter. I saw it from him. We talked about it maybe Friday. He's got every pick the Bills have made since 2018. They've made 3 fourth-round picks only in all those years. And this is why. Because that was the price to get Elam to move up 2 spots with the Ravens in 2022. How did that go? That was the price to get Kincaid to move up 2 spots in 2023. Mm-hmm. They gave up a 5th to move up 2 spots for Cody Ford. And that was in the second round, maybe in 2019. Long departed offensive lineman. They traded down for Cook twice in the second round. Respect that. You know, it was going to be a running back, which I didn't like the idea of at the time, pretty much any time in round 2. They got 2 sixths in that process, one from Tampa Bay and one from Cincinnati, to move down twice in that second round 3 years ago now for Cook. They traded down for Trey White. That went all right. They traded down 17 spots for Trey White. So please understand, like, it's not going to be only one way. there are going to be hits and misses no matter what you do in the draft. Coleman also is iffy. If I'm going to use Kincaid, I got to use Coleman. And they traded down twice for him. I just look at it like this. This is not a perfect roster. It kind of was 3 years ago. Hyde and Poyer and Trey White and Diggs and Davis. And you just had veterans, stars all over the roster. Meaning that many fewer possibilities for draft picks, for rookies. Like it, that was how it was. It's not that way right now as I see it. They're pretty firm on offense. Receiver is still, as we talk about all the time, a position where you could make an argument that they need help. But, you know, they may not agree. It's thinking of like the last 4 years of that conversation. They may not agree. So it's pretty firm, though. I wouldn't want to take that for granted. Injuries are rampant in the sport. I wouldn't want to take that for granted. I think a running back makes sense. I think a receiver makes sense. I think offensive line always makes sense. Maybe not tight end right now. Defensively, they need a lot. And so they have 10 draft picks. And I know Sal tends to say, and maybe Bulldog said this too, that there are not going to be roster spots for 10 rookies. And I just look at it differently. I don't disagree with that, but I just want my best odds. I want my best chance of finding what should it be, three or four that are good, not just are good enough to start because I don't have anybody better, but actually good. And so I kind of want as many picks as possible. And I get that by trading down. I don't think the Bills, because they're at 10 already, I don't think the Bills need to be thinking about trading down. I just don't like the idea of trading up, especially when I'm looking at defensive tackles because, I mean, come on. I need to do what? Go from 30 to 24, 22? What number do you want? I mean, what's the point? It's going to cost them, it would cost them, they don't have a third, but say they got one. To move from 30 to 24 or something would cost them a third. To move from like 30 to 20 would cost them a second. Maybe you get like a fifth back or something, but still, like that's you want that to be a starting player. I don't get it. I feel like a lot of these, you know, debates are great and a lot of them are really close and interesting. This to me is just not even close or interesting. You're better in a vacuum. If we're talking about specific guys at the moment, then that, you know, then you can sort of, you have clarity. You know what the trade offer is, you know who the player is, and you go from there. In a broader sense, there's just no reason to be thinking like that. I think for this team, with needs, with pick 30, you need defensive line, and there's a lot of them. Okay, just wait for it. Or trade down, and that's kind of what, it really is what Coleman was. I mean, it was very similar, where you needed a receiver, and we kind of all knew that. And the Bills agreed and were willing to move out of Worthy. They lost out on Ricky Pearsall, because of this, and then moved out of Leggett to get to Coleman, who, I don't know, like the stuff I always wish I knew about their decisions or just like how close it was and what they felt about the other guys. Because you can assume, maybe you'd assume that Coleman for them was superior to these other players. And, you know, that's all that matters. But it doesn't have to be. You could have just sort of a real life, yeah, I know what I don't know here. I like these certain traits. Allen's on board. That was a thing with Coleman and Kincaid, for what that's worth. And so go ahead and give me, I'll take another draft pick. They did not, I want to make sure I say this every time in the Coleman example, they did not really kill it in that trade. Like they didn't with Kansas City. At least ends up at the defensive tackle, Dwayne Carter. Wow, if he were better, we wouldn't even maybe have the defensive tackle need going into this year. But you know, maybe it's still somewhat of a need. But they didn't get rich off the Worthy trade. You know, you want this that badly, we're going to ask you for more than what the chart says. And the Bills didn't get more than what the chart said. They got sort of, they made a par on that move. And right now, Worthy looks like he'll be really good. I mean, he's already made a big impact on that team. And Coleman has made a lesser impact, but there's still hope for him. Mike Shope here at 803-0550, back after this timeout on WGR. What's up? Thanks for listening. Mike Shope here. If you've got baseball on the brain, first full week of the season, this week getting underway on Thursday, Mike Wilner covers the Blue Jays and has for many years, will join us at the top of the hour, do a little baseball, the Bisons, Toronto's affiliate, getting going on Friday at home, 2 o'clock on Friday, the opener for the Bisons against Rochester. They will let you listen to us from there. You just have to sort of make plans to do that. I recommend it. That way you can go to the Bisons and support them, and then also, you know, us. Here's Dennis next. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, Mike. So I kind of agree with your assessment, but only to a point, because I like the idea of trading down. I think it's always a good idea to accumulate more picks, but I think that there's a point to where, generally speaking, the difference between like a sixth and a seventh round pick and an undrafted free agent are kind of not that far off. So like, I would say I think it's good to trade back, but then I would also take my later picks and try to trade up. And I would try to get as many picks inside of 150, I think, as you can. And then you're kind of, you know, landing everybody between the second, third, and fourth round. All of those are going to be, you know, high quality, should be, hopefully, high quality players. And then, you know, if you're giving up a seventh and a sixth rounder or something to move up into the fourth round, I mean, I don't know. You could probably find the same guy you were maybe going to get in the seventh round in undrafted free agency anyways, you know. So I like accumulate, like if we have picks, if we end up with eight or seven, but all of them are inside of 150, and even like, you know, if we trade back from 30 to 40, I don't see that big of a difference there. And we're drafting between 40 and 150 eight times. I love that.
Yeah, you know, it's just all kind of common sense, but the way the value of picks diminish, I mean, that point is fine. It just cuts both ways. Like, how much more valuable is the seventh than an undrafted free agent? Okay, fair. How much more valuable is the sixth than the seventh, or the fifth than the sixth? Then you go on up. And of course, that increases. Those answers get bigger. But I don't know how much bigger they do by the fourth round, or certainly the fifth round. Like, I'm looking at the 2 days in a row. I'm looking at the Draft Tech value chart. The Bills pick late fifth three times in a span of five, 169, 170, 173. Add that all up, that's a mid-fourth. So that's three players for one in terms of the draft value chart. I'd rather have the three. Give me three-fifths over one-fourth. And, you know, the sixth, I'm 177 and 206, two picks in round six. What does that add up to? Mid to late fourth round, or fifth round, I should say. Big difference. The 2 6-round picks for a mid to late fifth, I'd rather have the two picks. So, yeah, it really doesn't waver for me, Dennis. Like, I certainly understand you want to maybe have a set number of draft picks in the end. And the board, right, every team's going to be different. Your team's going to have one opinion of just, like, where the levels are in this draft versus another. And then maybe that, because that's not going to be reflected in this chart, obviously. This chart is the same every year. So depending on what kind of year it is and what your needs are, thinking about your point, you probably could go either way there. But I want the quantity. I really just don't think there's any need to, you know, spend some of these picks to move up, especially early. That's where we're maybe on the same page, is early is when it's, I think, a worse idea. I'd like to have them be in the third round. I think the third round, I don't know, it seems like you'd want to have some leverage in there to move up, move down, preferably down, and, you know, just draft a player, whatever it is. And to get to the third round, it really has to happen by moving out of the second, because they don't really have enough late stuff, 4, 5, 6, or early 4, 5, 6, to get to the third round. I mean, don't love that. I'd like to be in there. That's Amari Cooper. The Bills' third-round pick is owned by the Browns because of Amari Cooper. So if they went from, say, 62, again going by this chart, sorry for all the math, but if they went from 62 to, I'm not going to look at which teams have these exact picks, but like 80 and a fourth, I think that's fine too. So, yeah, I'm really one way when it comes to this subject every year, and I recognize the hits when it comes to teams trading up. But the Bills have, you know, Josh Allen notwithstanding, he's an all-timer. But really, last few years, I was glad for what they did last year, and the jury is still out. The jury is still out on whether they will have made that work. I always wanted, I've said many times, even that day, like, take that first pick of the second round, move down one more time, and you probably still get about the same caliber of receiver if that's what you want, and then one more thing. And they didn't do that. They just sort of took that pick, went with Coleman. We'll see what kind of career they get out of him. Some baseball next with longtime Blue Jays reporter Mike Wilner. Been a while. Looking forward to that. This is Mike Shope on WGR.